I'm Mike. And I'm glad to be here today. Yesterday was my second sober anniversary. Just thinking about that, I might as well kind of talk about how I kind of got to there. My drinking was bad. My drinking was definitely bad. And it's been pretty bad for a number of years. One of the diagnostic criteria for alcoholism or substance misuse would be consequences. And I wasn't really suffering any consequences, not severe consequences. I definitely suffered consequences. In 2013, I was working my dream job at the Museum of Modern Art as an AV technician / projectionist. And I ran across a woman who drank even more than I did and did even more drugs than I did. And we got along famously. She was from New Zealand, very well off. And we stayed in 5-star hotels around the Museum of Modern Art for quite some time until one day she came in and had a sort of a panic attack. She was bipolar and off her medicine at the time. She told me she was on it, but she wasn't. I came to realize that she wasn't. But we're here in America, and if I hadn't gotten her back to New Zealand, the consequences wouldn't have been medical, they would have been legal. So after a lot more drinking and misadventures here in America, we finally got her back to New Zealand and got her the help that she needed. And unfortunately, because of her behavior, I lost my job at the museum. And that sent me on a even further downward spiral. Here is where I started to really feel the effects of my alcohol use and drug use, because drugs were there. I slowly kind of clawed my way back up the ladder into a position at a hotel. And it was a good position. It still is, actually. But I had my Memorial Day weekend 2 years ago. My kids were busy, so I was left to my own devices in New York City. And I proceeded to drink the weekend away with a vengeance. And I really was over the top that weekend. I got mad at a tire and had a pocket knife with me. So I tried to stab the tire and it was a folding knife. So the folding knife folded on my hand, sliced me open, and I still made it to the bodega to get my Four Loko and consumed it and woke up in the morning. And I was pretty adept. I don't know how I didn't get blood all over the place. I woke up, my finger was bandaged. I proceeded to drink again that day. That was probably Sunday. It was the Memorial Day weekend. Monday, I continued. And Tuesday, I woke up and I was still fucked up. I was, I'm used to waking up and feeling like shit, but I was still drunk. And there was a friend of mine that would come into the theater that I worked at. It was mostly private events, but we would have public movies on Sunday nights. And my friend who would come in, there had been some nights on Sunday when I'd come in and I was just totally, you know, warmed over shit. I was just completely hungover. And, you know, he had told me he was sober. And by this time, you know, I had looked into, before this event, I looked into AA and I looked at the New York website. And as an outsider, the language of AA is off-putting. The language, you know, I look on the website, closed meeting, closed meeting, closed meeting. And I don't know what this cult means, dude. I am not a member yet. I don't know what closed means. I don't know that closed means you think you have a problem, et cetera. It doesn't come with that. It just comes with closed and open. And there weren't enough open meetings. And I said, fuck them. If it's closed, I'm not going. So I tried to quit on my own, like during this stretch of a year, a bunch of times. And, you know, I would get a day or two or 4 days. And then that fourth day, I mean, I'd be driving and my car, I would just turn my car into the liquor store and get my airplane bottles. And, you know, so I had had definitely bad experiences trying on my own. So I called up my friend Christian. I said, Christian, man, I'm at work. I'm still drunk. I need a meeting. And he was really happy that I called him, you know, as people are, you know. And I went to my first AA meeting at this place called PAX in New York City on 21st or something Street. And, you know, I didn't know anything, you know. I guess I could have been willingly ignorant, but I went to that first meeting, and, you know, it was there, and they were supportive, and we went to the diner afterwards, and I was just so going through withdrawals, and I didn't know that at the time, so I just thought, like I usually thought when I was feeling consequences from drinking, that I was dying of cancer, you know, because that was always, you know, oh, I just, you know, I went to stand up and I passed out. You know, I have cancer. It must be cancer. I'm dying. You know, I have the chills, you know. Oh, I'm dying. That's it. That's what it is. You know, I'm dying. That's what it is. That was always my first go. I didn't realize it was withdrawals, and that, like, that entire first week, I don't think, it took me 4 days to really eat solid food, and probably about that long before I went to the bathroom even again. And, you know, again, I just thought my body shut down. I didn't realize with withdrawals what was going on. And I started to go to that meeting fairly regularly. It was super convenient. It was right by me. But, you know, I was introduced to the culture of AA there. And it was a very traditional meeting. I'm me. I am an atheist. I'm a hardcore atheist in myself. I don't push it on other people, but, you know, I believe in nothing. You know, no astrology or anything. So I was definitely having a problem with the religious component of it, especially when it came to people who are more fundamentalist. And of these folks, I also found that their inconsistency in ideology. I'm a very fair person. And there were some people who would come to these meetings that they were compromised. They were, you know, they were of different abilities. of different psychiatric states, but they were there staying sober, going to meetings. And there were a group of people that I kind of got in with that would be belittling these people. And that immediately just turned me. It brought out an anger in me. I am extremely, extremely averse to injustices. The only fights I've ever gotten into in my life have been defending people, not starting them, but coming to defense of somebody who's been being hurt. And this person was being hurt by their behavior, and it really bothered me. And these were not my people. I luckily got sober in New York, and which was phenomenal because I had the option of LGBTQ meetings and agnostic atheist meetings, because there were two groups of people that weren't going to give me any shit for my beliefs. And I came to the agnostic meetings really early on, and I will tell you, my bad experiences with the other meetings and people telling me you can't get sober without God and belittling my beliefs and method of conducting myself were very off-putting. But I was going to, and I went to regular meetings right away. I did the 90 meetings in 90 days. I like that concept. It definitely got me into the habit. You know, I saw, you know, hell, I would spend plenty of time at bars, or if not getting drunk outside of bars, you know, it didn't matter. If I had money, I would go to a bar. If I didn't have money, I'd buy a bottle. Easy as that. But there was this one meeting that I remember that really, I have two coins. I'm not a collector of things. I have two coins. One I got in the very beginning, and the other, only other one that really means anything to me. This woman was sharing at this meeting. It was a regular traditional meeting, and she was very religious, but she spoke to me in every other way. And I went up to her afterwards and I said, you know, I'm like, you know, I don't believe in any of that, you know, and, you know, but you really spoke to me, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm like, what do I do? She's like, oh, sweetheart, don't worry about it. She gave me a coin. She said, you just keep coming back and you'll be fine. And, you know, so I really appreciated her. She was a beacon. So here it is, 2 years later, post-pandemic. And during the pandemic, I retrained as a peer recovery specialist, recovery from substances and psychological issues. And here it is, 2 years later, I'm working in the industry and I'm enjoying it. And after the year long of the pandemic, the hotel that I was working at called me back. And I started, because I'm working remotely as a peer specialist, it affords me a great flexibility, which is fantastic because it allowed me to go back to my old job and realize that I hate my old job. I fucking hate it. Oh my God, just the pressure and the stress. And I hadn't noticed, because when you're living in it, and I'd lived a year doing that, doing the same work and staying sober. And, you know, but, you know, I had repeated, you know, I just kept on going with the job and without having the pressure removed, I didn't know it was there. But once I felt that weight on me again, you know, I didn't have the, I felt I didn't have the muscles anymore to carry that weight. And I made a decision and I told them, you know, that I was no longer going to be available in the same way. I'll work a day here or there, but I'm not going to make myself available in the same way. And soon after, I realized, and again, if I wasn't sober, if I wasn't with my own feelings in my own head with things and not drinking them away and forgetting things, I wouldn't have figured out that I was going through a rough time. I started smoking again, and you know, which with all this, the stress of the job and everything, but I felt better after letting them know I'm leaving. But then I realized that I was actually kind of mourning, in a way, the loss of a life I knew, and something I identified with as a person. I very much identified myself as a technician. And I came to that realization so quick and in such a healthy way with the help of all of my friends and everybody that I have come to rely on and speak to and communicate with, that if I didn't have all of these wonderful people that I've found in LA, it took until I just got my healthcare for my job. So you folks have been my psychiatrists too, in a way, or at least the healthiest way to work out my issues in a healthy, different way than I had been, which was basically repressing them by drinking them away and not knowing feelings because I repressed them with the booze and and drugs and never really feeling. So I gotta say that, you know, I'm much, much more at peace today with life and myself. I'm learning about myself all the time. I'm no longer stagnant in my growth and development as a human being, which is what had happened. And I was not happy with it. And I have been able to make significant changes because of my choices in life and my choices of company, like many of the wonderful people I'm looking at right now. So I want to thank you all for listening to me, and everyone have a great Memorial Day weekend, even if you're not in America, doesn't matter.